Hello everybody, welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your review of Chelsea 3, Leeds United 2. Chelsea progressing into the next round of the FA Cup and set to face Leicester in that stage of the tournament. It's myself and it's Tom back, business as usual, to discuss what I think could be a very interesting topic with Chelsea. I'm still in the mindset I was yesterday. Obviously, recording this on the Thursday, or releasing this on the Saturday. So I'm still in the same mindset I was coming back from the game. I don't know if you follow us on the old socials, but if you do, make sure you do. At Louis underscore Beneventi on Twitter, at Louis Beneventi on Instagram. And obviously, make sure you follow the Echo while you're there. But I don't know how to feel about it. Tom was also at the game. Tomas, how are we?
Yeah, good, thank you. Very good. My last day as a 25-year-old man. I don't know how it's good. Is it going to feel different? You tell me.
I mean, I've definitely aged over the past few months, but I definitely wouldn't put that down to just getting older. I'd definitely put that down to Chelsea Football Club and the multitude of other things I like to dominate my life with. But yeah, it's definitely, I feel wiser, Tom. You'll get there, mate. A few months makes a hell of a difference. You know, I feel like a ninja, like I could like Master Shifu or like Yoda. But you know, I still laugh at farts as well, so there is that. But obviously we're not here just to talk about farts and growing old and all that sort of stuff. So everyone, make sure you say happy birthday to Tom, right, in the comments and all that stuff. We're here to talk about Brentford. And you know, we'll get into that. We can't dwell too much on the past, even though we definitely have to, because that is part of the first segment of the pod. It's going to be a very, very interesting show. I've been thinking about it. I was thinking about it on the way back from work, so I've kind of gone, right, well, what's there to go through? What's there to discuss? But with that, obviously, we're definitely going to get into Act 1. I'm going to get into the fun part. And we've got to talk about the Leeds win and Leicester at home in the quarterfinals. So, Tom, why don't you take lead? How are you feeling after the game?
A mixture of relief, obviously, at qualifying last minute, and also not having to sit through another half an hour of that. And also, obviously, I think, as I said in the voice note review, that win and that Gallagher goal has once again done what he's done many times this season, and that's just papered over some cracks of what was ultimately a pretty diabolical second half performance. I thought first half, after the goal, which obviously was calamitous, again, De Sassi, not sure what he's doing. People were blaming Sanchez. I don't think that's Sanchez's fault for the pass. Keeping-wise, he could probably do more, but the pass is, from De Sassi's perspective, it's clearly not on to Caicedo. I don't care what you've been told, oh yeah, let's keep the ball alive, let's play out from the back. It's clearly not on, so just hoof it. I don't understand what he's doing. They score, and I was like, you know what? I don't know how much I can take of this. If they scored again quite early on, I might have been the earliest I've ever left the stadium. But we rallied. We actually looked quite... I thought all three goals we scored were good. I thought particularly the first one was excellent. Caicedo, for me, yesterday was absolutely phenomenal. Best player on the pitch. And also proved that he is not just a sitting six. He can play as an eight. His ball play yesterday was exceptional. He's moving around, and that pass for the Jackson goal showed exactly that, as well as obviously his physical presence and him winning the ball and the energy he had in the team. I thought it was brilliant. I thought Mudryk played quite well at times. Obviously took his finish well. Kind of spent most of the game annoying the Leeds fans, which is quite entertaining. But there were also a lot of things he didn't do right. He gave the ball away a bit too easily and ended up kind of running out of energy, which was frustrating. On the negative side, I thought Sterling once again was absolutely useless. I thought Alfie Gilchrist really, really struggled. Potentially would have probably switched him at half time. Either switched him for Gusto and put Gusto to play against Dan James, or taking him off altogether because he was really struggling the whole first half and it didn't really change that much in the second half. What else did I think? Madueke, frustrating game again. Had moments of brilliance and moments of just very meh, and overall it ends up being another game to like sort of just gone by him, really. So yeah, more of the same. We went 2-1 up. We were completely in control. Then they score, which has all come from the front three not pressing, and Leeds have got out when they shouldn't have done. And then they, once they've got out, they were exceptional. That goal's a brilliant goal. Again, going to have some questions about what Sanchez is doing in goal. Haven't seen the highlights. He's sort of just hugging the post where the ball's clearly not going to go. But I thought the ball and then the second ball in and the header is fantastic. You can't really do that much about that. But initially, that's, you know, press, and then they have to hoof it out and you've got the ball back. But anyway, and then from then on, from 2-2, it was embarrassing. They were in control. They were the better team. They very nearly got that third chance. Well, they did, but De Sassi just about got a foot in and hoofed it away. That was very nearly 3-2. And then saved at the end by a moment of genius from Gallagher. I've seen it since. I thought the pass from Enzo was brilliant. I've seen it since. It's actually not that good. It's a little bit too hard, but Gallagher touches it, you know, gets it under control really well, and then manages to get around the defender despite being fouled, and then just poke it past the keeper. So yeah, brilliant goal. But as I say, and in a very long-winded way, I've told you there, that is papering over cracks, and I think it keeps, everyone's calling Gallagher Poch's son. Well, if that's the case, it keeps Gallagher's dad in a job for a little bit longer, because I think had he lost that game, I'm not sure, I think we would have seen a club statement this morning. But positives are, as you've said, Leicester at home in the quarters, and we're only one more win away from another trip to Wembley.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yesterday, I think a lot of people could feel the hangover of the cup final. I felt, as I said in the voice note review, I felt extremely disconnected from Chelsea yesterday. And, I mean, I was so nervous at every single opportunity. Every single time we scored, I kind of didn't want to have that release. I was kind of sitting there going, right, well, you know, let's just get to the end of the game, let's just make sure we get the job done. And even with the Gallagher goal, I was kind of stood there, arms folded. It wasn't even quite a sigh of relief. It was like a, okay, fine, let's finish the game now. And I mean, people obviously were saying, I was talking about how I felt very disconnected on Twitter, and people saying just support the team, just do whatever. Obviously I'm supporting Chelsea, obviously I want what's best for the club, obviously I want to see it progress. But at the moment, I'm really struggling to understand the dynamics and understand where we're going. And I thought I'd be more excited about beating Leeds when I woke up this morning. I thought when I woke up, I'd be like, okay, well, you know what? I may have been a bit harsh. Maybe, you know, I just needed to take that time to process and go through it. And still, this morning, I was kind of sat there kind of a bit like, I'm just not feeling it at the moment. And I think it's probably down to how we're playing. It's probably down to the quality that we're seeing. But then again, at the same time, you look at the numbers, everything's improved. Literally everything is improved, which is what they're going to look at. And we're only 4 points right now off of seventh place. So,
hooray.
I am being incredibly harsh. No, I know it's, I know you're being sarcastic, but it sounds just like, there has been progress, that we have seen growth. And I think with the right additions, we could maybe push on. Whether or not it's going to be Pochettino in the job remains to be answered. I think the relationship between himself and the fans is slightly untenable, as we touched on in the previous pod. But, you know, it remains to be seen. I think, look, we got the job done. We did what we needed to do. I think that's how it's going to feel for the rest of the season, of going through the motions, pushing on. And just, I just want to see that consistent improvement. And I want to see more patterns of play. I want to see us actually take teams on and do the business. And, I mean, I thought the Leeds game, look, we made hard work of a game we should have been winning very easily. And I do feel that, you know, that has been the story of our season. So I think the biggest thing in this situation, whether or not people are happy with Pochettino, whether or not people are happy with how the club's developing, whether or not the people are happy with the mentality of the club, which I've made very, very clear that I am not. Until we can see an actual structure in place, which we can see some recognisable growth, I think maybe having the stability of a coach might be the only answer. Who it is remains to be seen. I mean, but I think, you know, Pochettino, he's going the right way, then they're going to look at the data because they want to be a data-driven club, and he'll remain where he is. But, you know, we'll have to see. I just want us to go forward now. And like I said, Brentford now, tough game, despite the fact they've had poor form. We'll have to see. But before we get into that, there are some very important pieces of housekeeping that we need to do at the Chelsea Echo, as that is Act One. And Tom, we'll have to get straight into it. Tom, what is your forgotten banger for the Brentford preview?
You know what, mate? I've gone first the last few weeks. Why don't you go first this week?
Okay. I was actually having a bit of a fun time in the back of the taxi on the way back. I was listening to some tunes, and Spotify again came in clutch with the radio. Lady Gaga came on.
Interesting.
And I was going to think, you know what, Just Dance, maybe that could be the banger. And it is a tune. You hear it. But then again, I still think you hear Just Dance all the time when you go out. I think if you go to, you know, the Pop Worlds of this world, or the Swans in Tom's case, or the Infernos in mine, you're going to hear Lady Gaga. So I'm going to put forward one which is lesser known, had a directorial cameo for a very brief part of the music video by Quentin Tarantino. And I'm going to put forward Telephone by Lady Gaga and Beyonce.
Wow.
It came on. I was in the back having a great little time. I was like, it's kind of busy. Na, 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 na. It's, I was having a great time. I was like, that's it. Done. Sorted. I love that.
Yeah. I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. I've gone quite a lot more classic than that.
Beethoven.
Think Magic. Think the Magic Roundabout. And you probably already know what I'm saying here.
Oh, ELO.
Yeah, Mr. Blue Sky. It's a bit of a tune, that. I was thinking, you know what?
It is.
And would I enjoy that if I heard that in a club? The answer is yes. And therefore, ticks all the categories for me. And it goes in the Forgotten Banger section. Again, slightly dubious as to whether it was forgotten, but it is
a
banger.
It's definitely not forgotten, but it's a banger, so I'm happy with that. I'll let you off. It's definitely not forgotten, though, but that is a tune. I'll take that. Okay. All right, then. Mr. Blue Sky, Lady Gaga, and Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Telephone.
Excellent. Variety is the spice of life.
Oh, right. My God. Oh, dear. Right. But yeah, that's good. I like those. That's very, very good. Okay, cool. We'll move on then, though. What's next? What we got? It's Tom's big question of the week, which still doesn't have a jingle.
Tom's
which we need
big
to
question
out.
Of the week. And then insert drum roll. It will get there. Jordan will make these jingles, and soon this pod is going to be, there's going to be more jingles than tangents, which to long time listeners.
I can't wait till we actually have an intro song. How amazing is that going to be? Yeah. We'll do it. We'll head to the studio. Tom's going to be there on the triangle.
Yeah, on the triangle. Thinking about B movie, so I'm really angry, and it's like really deliberately hard triangle playing.
To be fair, right, did you like at school, obviously everyone did the recorder, right? But did you like do the ocarina or anything like that? Because remember there was a whole phase where all schools were getting kids to learn how to play the ocarina.
I don't know what the ocarina is.
We had
is.
The ukulele.
What the hell is the nothing. What the fuck is an ocarina?
Do you know what an ocarina is? An ocarina is like, how to describe it? Think like a round recorder, right? So it's almost like it was probably like the size of two Tamagotchis. And that's probably a really, really
good reference.
Niche reference.
Good reference.
But it's like you'd hold it like that. It's about the size of two Tamagotchis, and it had four holes in it, and you like there was like ocarina playing classes and stuff at school. No. And then year six, I did the ukulele.
I didn't do either.
And then I found my calling as a bass player from year seven onwards, and I continue to play it to this day. I'm great at my fingers. What can I say?
Lady.
But hello. Yeah. We got to move on now. That was a bit of a tangent. We got Forgotten Bangers. Come on, what is the question?
Tom's big question of the week. This week, well, obviously we're playing Brentford, and for those of you that are unfamiliar with Tom's big question of the week, it is to do with the team we are about to play and the team that this preview is about. Obviously this week, Brentford. And I thought, what could I do about Brentford? Well, I decided I would go slightly off-piste. Think of a certain character from a certain show, David Brent, ladies and gentlemen.
King.
From David Brent, obviously, played by Ricky Gervais in the hit sitcom The Office, the UK version. There is obviously a US version too. We could discuss here briefly our favourite Office characters. This is allowed to be UK or US version because actually, controversially perhaps, I actually do think this is the one show where the US version is actually better than the UK version. Most of them I disagree.
I don't disagree. I think it's more fleshed out. I know there's going to be someone that's going to have turned off the pod and given us a one-star review for saying that. I think the US, I'm actually watching the US one again. Mm. I have like a rotation of like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Always Sunny, and The Office US, which I fall asleep to because obviously they're really long seasons and there's a fucking load of them. So you could kind of leave it and it kind of goes on. And I think, yeah, just the characters are more fleshed out. I like the dynamic between Dwight and Jim a lot. But I also do feel like you can't look past David Brent. I just love him.
Yeah. He'll be the front runner. If we were to run a poll on favourite character from UK and US Office, I would expect David Brent to win. But
I'm going to put the poll out now. David Brent versus Michael Scott, who's better?
But I think there's some outside characters that I love. I'm talking Stanley. I'm talking Creed. These are characters that probably make me laugh more than... Actually, do they make me laugh more than Michael Scott or David Brent? Maybe not, but they have the big moments. I think they're very entertaining characters and they should not be slept on. But
Michael Scott doing his impersonations. That was my favourite ones. Yeah, I had Michael Klump with the fat guy, the obesity awareness. Mm-hmm. The Greek character. Oh my, that killed me.
Was it prison? Was it Prison Mike? Was that a character?
Prison Mike! I forgot about that one! Hey man, you think prison's cool? Oh my god. That's good, but yeah. No, that was good. And yeah, I think for me, David Brent. If you were to ask people in the UK, it'll be David Brent. If you ask people in the US, it'll be Michael Scott. But then also, there's been conversations about whether or not Michael Scott is one of the greatest television characters of all time.
He undoubtedly is, in my opinion. But having said that, David Brent as a whole, there's a thing. You say something, oh, that's so Brent in the UK. That's probably not a thing around the rest of the world. But in the UK, there are certain things that you can say, and there's basically two characters that if you say it in a certain way, you might get told, and oh, that's very Brent, or that is so Partridge. Obviously, there's a whole Twitter page, Accidental Partridge. I'm sure there are Brent ones as well, but which I think show very well the British culture and how we view humour over here, which is very dry, very sarcastic. But yeah, I think it was an interesting discussion, and I thought I'd bring it up. Something very different and not really at all associated with Brentford, but there we go.
Well, I mean, it's not actually, it is kind of associated to Brentford because Slough is about, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah, I suppose it's not too far away from Brentford.
So it's kind of I'll allow it. It makes sense. Also, obviously, as well, the fella who was in the UK office passed away last week.
Kevin.
I've forgotten his name.
Was it Kevin?
No. Kevin's the US office.
The big. I know what you mean.
Played at Ali G. Yeah. He passed away. So you know, R.I.P. to that king. But yeah, actually, you know, Kevin's a good character. I like Kevin.
He's a good character.
Kevin is what I imagine I'd be like if I hit my head and fell.
Who played Big Keith?
Yeah, that's it. Big Keith. Always keep your traveller's checks in a bum bag. Is that all right? Cheers, Keith. But who do you reckon would win in a fight? Dwight or Gareth? You've got my territorial army training.
I think Dwight is more, A, more psycho, B, probably has more weapons, and C, is more intelligent, and therefore I'm going to go Dwight.
That's good. I like that. I'm up for Dwight. I think I'd love to do, like, just, we won't do this on air, because obviously we're already extending this longer than we should be, but I'd love to kind of, if we were to do an Office UK of everyone we work with and people we know, I'd love to know who's who. Just me and you, just sat in the pub, just going, trying to figure out who's who.
God, the old day.
When you said David Brent and Alan Partridge, though, I couldn't look past the fact that me and you are probably both. I'm definitely more Brenty sometimes, and you are very Partridge. It makes me. There's some things you say, and I'm sat there, and I'm like, what is he doing? Why is he saying that? It's like, hello. I can't wait for it even more. It's like, I still remember we're doing some brand work and me and Gary were talking about it. You know that clip of him when he's going running in the church in Norwich and he's on the phone. He's like, £50,000, £50,000 or we take it to Sky. And he's only really short shorts. It's
oh,
like
so good.
I just love it. But yeah, that's when we need to play Norwich just so we can talk Partridge. But yeah, that is Tom's big question of the week. That's the Forgotten Banger. And that is our little look back at Leeds and obviously a look forward to Leicester in the Cup. But now it's time for the game itself. It's time for Act Two and it's time for the part of the show that does actually have a jingle. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yes, that is right. What we're all really here for. You've listened to 20 minutes of rambling and tangents and Michael Scott versus David Brent. Now we're in for the real bit, the Stat Shaggers, the real content. Brentford and Chelsea have only actually played 20 times in their entire histories. That is, quite frankly, nothing. Compared to a lot of the other teams, again, for long-time listeners, or if you want to go back and listen to some old ones, I don't think I've ever done a club that has had fewer than 100. Maybe Preston was the only one. But most clubs have well into the hundreds. Brentford only 20. Chelsea have won 10 of those 20 games, drawn 3, and Brentford have won 7. Now, the reason for this, obviously, significantly low amount of games compared to others is this was a fixture that was played a lot of times in the 1930s and into the 40s, post-Second World War as well. 10 of those fixtures were played then. With Chelsea winning 5 of those, Brentford winning 4, and of course there being 1 draw. But then, from the 1950 FA Cup match, there was no other clash between these two teams at all for 63 years. They then met again in the 2013 FA Cup fourth round at Brentford's old ground, Griffin Park, where Fernando Torres forced a replay in the 2-2 draw, which, you know, Chelsea then would go on to win 4-0 at Stamford Bridge.
Do you remember
Bridge.
The pitch that day? Do you remember watching it? I remember watching that. Do you remember watching that?
I don't
know. I remember watching that on, are you ready, Setanta Sports.
Oh my God.
Setanta Sports were showing it. I remember I thought Torres was going to miss it because the pitch was awful and it just kept bobbling. Oh my God.
There you go.
Throwback to that.
That was the first time Brentford and Chelsea had met in 63 years. And then, yes, Chelsea then won the replay 4-0. And it was the same result 4 years later at the same stage of the competition, the FA Cup fourth round. Now, obviously, Brentford were then promoted to the Premier League in 2021. And you might think, oh, well, yeah, Chelsea against a newly promoted side must have a pretty good record. You would be wrong. Despite Brentford being relative newcomers to the top flight, Chelsea's record against them is, quite frankly, abysmal. But, having said that, the Blues did win the first league encounter in 74 years between Chelsea and Brentford at their new stadium, the G-Tech, or as it was then known, the Brentford Community Stadium, winning that one 1-0, courtesy of a superb Ben Chilwell strike, and then would win 2-0 in the just-before-Christmas League Cup quarter-final tie, which, if I remember rightly, was extremely tedious to watch as a Chelsea fan. Brentford really dug in that day. But a late Pontus Janssen own goal and a subsequent Jorginho penalty saw Chelsea through to the semi-finals, which obviously, in shocking form, would end up resulting in a loss to Liverpool in the final on penalties. How relevant to the current day. That win back in December 2021 was actually, coincidentally, the last time Chelsea beat Brentford. They then lost 4-1 at Stamford Bridge, obviously the Rudiger game. And then drew 0-0 at the G-Tech last season and have since had back-to-back 2-0 losses at Stamford Bridge. Now that means that since Brentford's return to the league, they have actually won all three of their games at Stamford Bridge. But bizarrely, they haven't won at the G-Tech against us yet. So neither side have been winning their home games in this clash. And that does mean that the last time that Brentford beat Chelsea at home was in 1938 in the league. In fact, in all competitions, I believe that is. So, yeah, that's pretty mental. Well, there you go. That's I couldn't believe that stat, and that's from a new formed stat shagger in myself. On to Brentford's recent form, looking into the 21st century now. Well, it's been anything but pretty for the Bees, who are currently at serious risk of being dragged into an unwarranted and, at the time of the start of the season anyway, unlikely relegation battle. They now sit 16th, only 5 points clear of the drop zone, with Luton also having a game in hand. And obviously, they would not have been particularly happy at the news in the week that Everton had gained 4 points, and that is why they've dropped a place in the league as well. They've recently lost four of their last five games, beating Wolves 2-0 in their only win on the road. But those losses, to be fair to them, have come against top sides. They lost to Spurs 3-2, Liverpool 4-1, and both against City 3-1 and 1-0. But before we move on to the Echo 11, let's look at the bigger picture of their run of form, because since the Bees last beat Chelsea at the Bridge on the 28th of October, they have only won four of their last 16 league games.
Mm.
So to say they're out of form and to say Thomas Frank is struggling is an understatement. But this weekend, you do feel something has to give. Hopefully, it's not Chelsea's bizarrely good record away at Brentford, dating back, closing in on 100 years. But anyway, that is a slightly long version of Stat Shaggers. It's back to you in the studio.
And enter Chelsea FC to give Brentford all 3 points at the weekend. I want to die. I hate watching Chelsea. It kills me inside, but I have to do it.
We love it, really.
It's all right. I'm very fortunate to do it. But, you know, I just don't expect anything at all. But, you know, that's just me. We'll have to see. But that is a very interesting back end of form. And, you know, if we win, you know, we are technically a good side. Technically. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But let's get straight into it, though. Echo 11, another jingle that we're going to sort out. What is the Chelsea Echo 11 against Brentford? I think the first thing we can agree on is that Jordi Petrovic is back in goal, right?
Please. Sanchez yesterday was shaky, to put it in a nice way. There are other words I could use to say how I really feel. But yeah, Petrovic, please,
should
back
I
in goal.
Check the group chat for those.
Petrovic is my number one now for this club. I think he's made that jersey his own. So Petrovic in net, yes please.
Okay, so Petrovic back four: Chilwell, Gusto, De Zassi, and Colwell.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the best of what we have at the moment.
Okay, and midfield: Caicedo, Enzo, and Gallagher.
Yeah, I think so. Has to be.
And then Cole Palmer, Jackson. And who are you playing on the left?
I am playing Mykhailo Mudryk, because I think he needs to play more. I think he needs a run of games in the team. I currently don't see the point in playing Sterling, because we see the same thing every single week. So let's play Mudryk and let's see what he can do, because he's a confidence player. And I thought last night he looked quite confident. So let's see if he can hit some peaks.
I think Mudryk and Noni Madueke are both players which rely on having minutes. And the biggest issue with this whole model of having 70 million players who all need IDs to go get a Red Bull is that, you know, the fact that you're going to have a lot of players there who need minutes to improve, who need minutes to develop, and they're not going to get them. You saw Noni Madueke come in after not playing for six games, played poorly, got hauled off. Mudryk, similar situation, not really playing, got hauled off. So, you know, I'd like to see him really given the opportunity, because I do think, as much as people seem to discredit him, I do think there's a hell of a player in Mykhailo Mudryk. Obviously, there was a news today where apparently he was crying, he didn't get a move to Arsenal, but I believe it. You know, when I believe when I see it, one, and two, I don't really care. It's past point. He's a Chelsea player now, and we've got to back him, and we've got to see him do the business. And I think that, you know, he does show sometimes his brain moves faster than his feet. Sorry, his feet move faster than his brain. But, you know, hopefully we'll see that come together and see him flourish. Because I do think that there's a quality player in there. And I agree. I think that's my team as well. And yet again, me and Tom have agreed on an Echo 11. We're just never going to argue about it at all, ever. I guess until everyone's fit. Then again, our centre forward is out again for 2 months again.
Well, one player that I will say, and obviously he is injured for 3 or 4 weeks, so this is kind of a futile question, but I'll ask it anyway because I want to. If Nkunku was fit, would you start him and move Jackson to the left? I'm kind of trying to decipher what our current first choice attack would actually look like, because Sterling isn't in it, let's be honest, and he should be, but he's not. So what would it actually be, just to make myself feel better of what it could have been if we didn't have whatever our medical team is.
If everyone's fit for Chelsea, I think the team would be Petrovic, same two centre backs, Reece James, Chilwell. I think you'd then probably see the same midfield. Would you see the same midfield? Yeah. I've not seen enough of Romeo Lavia to comment. I think a lot of people might be saying he'd come in, but I haven't seen enough of him to make a comment on that. And I'd probably say, yeah, it'd be Nkunku down the middle and Jackson on the left. But I think in reality, if Chelsea signed a centre forward, you'd probably see Nkunku push back to a number 10. But, you know,
which I wouldn't mind either.
Remains to be seen.
Mm. There you go. A quick echo 11.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, I think it's fair to say, you know, that the season is effectively over if we don't get the result here. But obviously, the opportunity to salvage some European football, 4 points behind Brighton, as we said earlier, with a game in hand, by the way.
Woo!
If you were to look at the rest of our fixtures right now and look at the form, do you think we stand a chance, or is it just a case of saying, you know, sayonara and we'll see you next year?
I think we definitely have a decent chance. I don't think we can give up at this point. It's only, what, game week 27 of the Premier League. Still quite a long way to go. And we've got the FA Cup to fight for as well. So I think it is different from last year in that respect. Because last year really was a write-off. Like, it was nothing. Once we lost to Dortmund, that was it. We had nothing to play for. You know, we've got City in both cups. That was a write-off. The league was horrible. It was just there. So it is definitely an improvement in that we're entering March with something to play for. Sounds absolutely ridiculous that Chelsea Football Club have to say that, but there we go. So, yeah, I mean, as I say, pre-season, what did we say we expected? And I think we had a definitive answer of someone between 6th and 8th, pretty much. So if we end up coming 7th...
I mean, you guys were saying Europa League, and I was saying probably get 8th. And you go,
I think I said 6th. I definitely didn't say any higher than 6th. So if we finish 7th, then that's pretty much banging between what we both said. So... there you go. Pre-season, would I have taken 7th? Probably. But I probably would have thought we would have played slightly more fluent football than we have. Now I would definitely take 7th and, you know, get back into some form of Europe. Obviously, it's the Conference League, but it's still something.
Listen, all those away day vlogs are going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, some random trips to Estonia.
That is going to be great. We left Tom in Riga, and he's getting chased by the Soviets that remain out there that still think it exists.
Yeah, and I come back with like a Latvian tattoo and whatever else they have. I don't know, a new husky or something.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon if you get a tattoo in Latvian, it needs to be what your order would be at McDonald's, but on your ass in Latvian. And then every single time we go out, it's like, Tom's got a really cool tattoo. What does it mean? It means strength and integrity, but in Latvian.
McMuffin. Yeah, and it's just got McMuffin in the middle of it. Or Big Mac. Why does it say Big Mac, meaning integrity? Well, the Latvians are slightly strange. They think a Big Mac means strength and integrity. Right, okay. But anyway, yeah, back to it. I think we can fight for 7th. I think the teams around us are very inconsistent. I think a lot of them, to be fair, like we are, but I think a lot of them are also in Europe. Obviously, West Ham are fighting in Europe. Brighton are playing in Europe. I'd like to think over a season we'll finish ahead of Wolves. And then... Newcastle at the moment look a bit lost, if I'm honest. Yeah. And I think we could finish ahead of them. Obviously, they're like us now. They don't have Europe to play for. So I'm fairly optimistic that we can, whether we get it or not, I'm fairly optimistic we can. And so, yeah, I'd like to think we'll go for that and that, you know, we'll have a chance. You know, generally, in sort of every block of games, we look a bit better. There's just then one or two where we stray and we look crap again. And that was unfortunately the cup final and yesterday. So I'm hoping that against Brentford we can go and show something and show what we're actually made of. Mm. That would be nice.
Mm. Well, I mean, I'd back us to. As much as I said that I think we're Charity FC, I do think that we can pick up a result here. And I think if we do, that's going to be so, so big. So, so big. sort because of it puts us right back amongst it.
More than you believe.
So we'll have to see how it goes. But you know, I do think if we can take advantage of that game in hand as well, really push on. If we beat Leicester as well, I think our game in hand is going to be the Villa game.
Spurs.
So
Spurs.
When I checked earlier, the FA Cup semi-final game weeks, and I know it's getting ahead of ourselves here, but you know, I'm just trying to map out the Premier League if things happen. You know, it's game week of the 20th of April.
Yeah, well, the Arsenal game is going to be postponed because that's quarterfinals for us. So that'll be postponed. So we have Spurs and Arsenal both at some point chucked in towards the end of the season. And then, yeah, if we get to the semis, then there'll be another one. So, those are some tough games that will be chucked in at the end. But then if they're thrown in, you know, when those teams are at the, you know, deep end of Europe and they've got a couple of injuries creeping in and maybe for once we don't, who am I kidding? Of course we're going to have injuries. But, you know, you never know. Then there's a chance. Also, we play better against a good team. So I think we've got to have some
sort of... Okay, that's a little bit of a myth. That's a little bit of a myth now. Come on.
Well, what, after one result against Liverpool? Our results are generally better against the better teams. Because, you know, we get to City and Drew and...
Yeah, okay. We'll agree to disagree on that one. I think the results against... we had one good result. Well, poor result in the end against Arsenal. And then I think Spurs, you know, again, great to get the result and play and win 4-1. But then also, it was nine men. United, less said the better. You know, Newcastle, less said the better.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. And Liverpool away. Yeah, yeah, you went. Fine.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Fine. I'll stop clinging on to that. We're just shit. Okay, there we go. Yeah. But you know, there's a good chance. Now I'm looking at it now. We're 4 points, as you say, behind Brighton on 39. West Ham also on 39. Wolves on 38. Newcastle 37, and then Fulham behind us on 32. We surely over time, I would back us to at least come ahead of a few of those teams, and then.
We'll finish above Newcastle now. I think, unfortunately for the Geordies, they're in that position where they overextended themselves and overachieved so massively last season that a lot of people are thinking they're in free fall or whatever. But the reality is this is just right now, that's the level where they're at.
Yeah.
So they're kind of sort of in that Europa conference to maybe fighting for the Europa bracket. West Ham are just falling apart. And I think Brighton, obviously, I think, yeah, there's a cult following for De Zerbi, which I don't understand when he can't keep a clean sheet to save his life. But, you know, I do think that, you know, they're probably a side which we're going to be contending for in that last Europa League spot. Because I think it's going to be a toss-up between United and Spurs for that fourth and fifth. And Villa as well, to be fair.
United are done, I think. Well, I suppose they're technically not. Yeah. They're 8 points behind Villa now. I think that's quite a lot. And I think Villa are better than them anyway. I think Villa will get fourth, which would be a massive achievement. Although Huge. It looks like fifth will be enough for Champions League anyway, so that gets that probably gets Spurs in it. But I mean, I suppose Spurs currently are only 3 points ahead of United, so there is a bit of a battle there. I get what you're saying, but I think seventh is doable. I think it's achievable. But anyway, that's that. It's kind of sad in a way that's what we're talking about, but that's where we're at. Things will become better again, as we started seeing again last night. Don't worry about a thing.
I am very much worrying about everything. That's kind of what I do. That's my thing. So that's an unfortunate genetic trait I've inherited from my father. But yeah, I mean, look, every game is massive now. Everything we get, we've got to push forward now. And really just maybe make the best of the season. And I think we might. If we can run 3 or 4 games together, then great, job done. That I'm a happy boy. But again, remains to be seen. We'll have to see how everything develops. But yeah, I mean, with that being said, you know, for Pochettino, he's probably gonna, you know, get a little bit longer after beating Leeds and just squeezing past the end thanks to Conor Gallagher. Do you? We're talking about how close we are in Europe, but do you have confidence in him as a manager? Do you think he could turn this around, or do you think there's going to be more nuanced tactical errors which will lead to draws where we should be winning or goals we shouldn't be conceding being conceded, which are going to make a massive difference on that goal difference chart?
Honestly, I'm so torn with him because I think he is weak as a manager. I think he is, you know, I don't want to say Spursy, but in terms of a personality trait, that everyone will understand what I'm saying when I say that. I think he doesn't have that cutting edge that I think this team needs. And what Chelsea need, our best managers have always been passion merchants. You know, look at Mourinho, with the exception of Ancelotti, who only needed an eyebrow raise and that was enough. But with, you know, other than that, Mourinho, Conte, Tuchel, these lads who fight and they show it, and that gets the fans on their side, and then they love him, and then it's kind of a love relationship, and it works. Whereas when we've had these sort of more standalone managers like Potter, like Poch, you know, you look back at some of the others who I can't even think now. I don't know.
Sarri,
but even Sarri, like, still had that Kepa moment where he went absolutely mental. You know, that was still more than we'd seen from Poch when things haven't been going his way. And I don't know, maybe that's just him. He's just a very calm and collected manager. But the football he plays, the mistakes the players are making, doesn't seem to show that. The things I'm hearing about the training and the going, like doing the hardest day of training the day before the game. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but I've seen rumours dating back to when he was at Spurs about that. So there must be some truth to it. That seems absolutely mental to me and would explain, you know, why the players can't play 120 minutes when they haven't played for 8 days. And I still think there's basic mistakes. There's a lack of football IQ in the team that you would think would have improved in 8 months. Like, they're young players, they've got to learn that. And, you know, even the smartest players are players who are ahead of their years, like Cole Palmer. Still, you know, you still got to learn it, and that comes from the manager and playing. And it doesn't really have, you know, think about De Sassi yesterday. That's a stupid mistake and shouldn't be making that at this level. But anyway, so honestly, I'm not sure. But having said that, the players are missing all the chances, and you can't necessarily blame Poch when the players are missing open goals. So I'm very torn, but my heart probably does tell me that he's not the guy.
That's fair enough. I mean, look, I think he's lost his touch with the fans. And again, I think, like you said, the mentality side of things is extremely questionable. But we're now a data-run football club, which means that we're probably going to be seeing him in the hot seat next season unless his relationship with the fans becomes so untenable that regardless of results, we find somebody else. But then again, we're going to have the same problem in 6 months' time if we're bringing somebody else. So, you know, we're going round in circles unless things change. But, you know, we'll have to figure it out. But we will see. We will see. But look, maybe if he loses here, it could be the final straw. But then again, also, we are not that far away. It's so difficult right now to analyse Chelsea because I think there's so many different ways to skin a cat. You know, we could be looking at this and saying, well, he's probably going to get sacked, but then he might not get sacked because we're so close. But then even though we're so close, we're not picking up the results. But then all of a sudden, we'll pick up a result. And it's so difficult watching Chelsea right now. But, you know, realistically, I think it's the mentality thing which we've got to question. But we'll see what happens. I tell you what, if they grind them out and we're seeing ourselves challenging for Europe and actually in those European spots next season, you can't really question the mentality because they'll have fought from when everyone had written the team off to get into those European places. And, you know, I think realistically that'll be a good achievement. But it's another one where I feel that if they said, what a great achievement for Chelsea, realistically, we've got to sit there and go, I don't know about that, guys. It's almost like that's a internal target, which we all know is going to be the case. But we kind of go, it's great we got here, but we need to be pushing on further. Rather than what Pochettino said after the cup final, which was basically saying it was a miracle that we got there. But we'll see. Let's just see how the season develops and how it pans out. But one game at a time, and this one is Brentford. So let's get through it. We'll see you guys after the game. Obviously, going to be chatting afterwards with our voice note reviews. I'll be at a wedding, so I've got to sneak off and find a way to do my my voice note review and watch the game. You never know. I might be taking some lovely photos of the bride and the groom, but realistically, as they're walking down the aisle, it's actually going to be me holding and watching Sky Sports as they go past, but playing it off in a genius way. But you never know. I'm a fantastic actor. I'm a smart guy. But so's Tom, and it is his birthday in 1 hour and 51 minutes as we record. So, yeah. Happy birthday, Tomas.
Thank you, mate.
Enjoy joining the 26 Club. You're 1 year closer to putting a shotgun in your mouth and joining the 27 Club.
I was going to say that's depressing, and then I realised it was a reference, and that's okay. But yeah, John Terry Club, yeah, let's go.
The John Terry Club. Yeah, sorry, that's it. Yeah, 26 Club, there you go. You're part of the John Terry Club. I was still thinking about Kurt Cobain. But yeah, it is what it is. That has been the Chelsea Echo. This has been your preview of Chelsea heading to Brentford. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed it and are less nervous than we are. Remains to be seen. But this has been a sideline production. Make sure you follow all the socials for the Chelsea Echo, as we'll be heavily on there. Or Jordan will be if we lose again. So if you're going to see someone ranting on there saying that Graham Potter was probably the right signing and the right person for Chelsea, it wasn't me or Tom. Put it that way. But engage with the Echo. Make sure you stick around. And make sure you check out all the other stuff that's on the sideline as well. Some fantastic people on there. And make sure you sign up to the site. We'll leave a link to it in everything as well. And guys, thank you very much for listening or watching in some cases. And we will see you later. Ta-da.